We are Natalie and Matthias. We welcome you to our conversations with B2B ecosystem experts and platform founders. Our goal is to uncover what they learned and help you to launch and scale platforms, marketplaces, and business ecosystems. Enjoy! Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new show of our podcast, Platforms for Future. Today, I'm very pleased to have Simon Tischelman as our guest. He is co-founder and CEO of Createize, one of the leading German procurement platforms for manufacturing services, something like an AWS for manufacturing. Founded in 2015, now operating around 500 customers, 200 manufacturers all around Europe, and operating three offices. And I think this is very important. It's one of the first CO2 neutral platforms out there. So I'm very, very happy to have Simon in our show. And together with Simon, I also have my lovely co-host, Natalie. Hello, Natalie.
Hi. Hi, Matthias. Hi, Simon. So I'm very pleased also to welcome you, Simon. This is very exciting to hear about this adventure, this Createize adventure that you led. So I'm going to get into it straight away and ask you the question about how did you come about this idea, and, you know, tell us a bit more about this, your platform for our listeners.
Hi, Natalie. Hi, Matthias. Really happy to be here. Exciting to talk with you about the future of platforms or platforms of the future. As you mentioned, I'm the co-founder and CEO of Createize. We are transforming manufacturing for companies, and we always said, look, manufacturing is a means to an end, and like everybody that is in manufacturing loves it, but people feel that it's really tedious sometimes. Like, either you need to own a machine or you need to do procurement to get your parts or your manufacturing goods done or manufactured. And Createize and Daniel and I, my co-founder and I, founded Createize with the mission to transform manufacturing in something that the world loves. And we think that it needs something that manufacturing the world loves is fully transparent. So we show like the manufacturing times, the manufacturing costs, but we also show the CO2 footprint. And this is why, as Matthias mentioned, we also the first manufacturing platform that is carbon neutral as of this year, which I'm very proud of. So besides transparency, we think that it needs to be cheap, it needs to be elastic, which means it needs to scale with the demands of our customers. And it needs to be as simple and easy as possible. And this is what Createize is about. And why do we do it? Why do we care about this? Because we believe that hardware companies are able to change the world for good, but they need someone like Createize that helps them to bring their innovation to market as fast, as sustainable, and easy as possible.
It's quite a tall order, if you ask me, to make people the whole manufacturing industry process and procurement. So I'm very keen to hear about how, why did you choose a platform model to enable this transparency, this scalability, and the carbon neutrality, and how do you measure carbon neutrality?
Yes, also a very multi-dimensional question, I must say. So yeah, why did we choose a platform? So I think this is quite easy. We think that there are so many experts and so much capacity out there all over the world. Like, we are working with, as Matthias said in the intro, 200 manufacturers around the globe. And every day we are adding new manufacturers. And there is a lot of free idle capacities, which means there's so much resources. You have to think about a machine, right? So a machine costs, let's say a CNC milling machine costs €1 million when you buy it. It requires space, it requires setup, it requires skilled labor that operates this machine. But for around 50% of the time, this machine is idle. It means it's just standing around waiting for orders. And we saw that and thought, well, what would happen if we would utilize this machine in a better way, in a more efficient way? This would reduce the number of the whole carbon footprint, first of all, of manufacturing, because you don't need like to add more and more and more manufacturing sites. You just utilize the manufacturing sites you have better. And on the other side, if you want to enable your customers to scale your demands with their growing business, you need to make sure that you always have capacity. And only a platform can give you unlimited capacity, so to say. Since we are working with so many manufacturers, we always have capacity. We always have the best lead times in the market. And we can, shift from one technology to another because we are not invested. We have not invested in our own machines. So we can use the transformation towards, let's say, 3D printing more easily than if we would have 500 machines, like 500 milling machines waiting for orders. So this is why we chose the platform business instead of owning our own machines.
So at the beginning you mentioned that your ambition is to transform the manufacturing industry. So this for me really sounds very, very ambitious because it's a very traditional industry. Do you have maybe one or two examples, kind of success cases where you really helped a company or multiple companies to transform and really following your ambitions?
Yes, sure. So we have companies that are using us for more than 3 years now to scale up their production. And one of this company is Atlas Copco. It's a multinational company that started to do agile procurement, and with our they wanted to decentralize the procurement needs and demands, and we are helping them with our software and our platform to enable every team around the world to basically procure what they need to have access to manufacturing capacities with our services.
So it's that you improve their kind of procurement process for they needed to produce something and therefore they needed to buy manufacturing resources and capacity, and you help them to improve their procurement process.
Well, here's the thing, Matthias. We generally don't want to improve the process. We want to, in the best case, eliminate a process, right? And because we believe that most of the time the processes are needed because there is no transparency, for example, in the market. But the moment you bring transparency, meaning we do an open book calculation, so this is what we call it. So we show for every part, we show the customer what are the manufacturing times, what is the material cost, et cetera, and give them full transparency of what they are producing with us. And with this transparency, we are making sure that they don't need to, do a request for quote process anymore. So they don't need to compare three quotes and then take the cheapest one, et cetera, et cetera. All of this back and forth that is usually needed, and it requires a lot of resources at the customer side, but also at the supplier side, is eliminated. And this is how we are enabling agile teams to get their parts as easy as possible without any procurement resources that the industry requires because of this intransparencies.
Yeah, so our guests usually know about marketplaces and say, okay, I understand the marketplace, I need some things, I go to a marketplace, I can buy it from different suppliers, etc. And this also helps me to improve our procurement process. But as I introduced at the beginning, Creatize is more than that. So you're kind of an AWS for manufacturing. Can you also elaborate a little bit around that? So say, okay, that our listeners better understand, this is not just a marketplace, not just procurement process. It's really more.
Yes, I love this question because this is really, really important for us. Let's step back and go back to the transformation of, because you also asked like about the transformation of a market and an old industry. Let's go back into the 90s where in the computer storage industry, right? So I think you might remember back in the days you needed to buy your own servers to host your web services and your email servers, et cetera, et cetera. And for buying this, you first of all needed to know which servers you buy. Then you needed to have someone that is maintaining those servers. Then if they break, you need to replace them, et cetera, et cetera. And of course, you needed to have your own space, preferably in a secure room where nobody has access, and basically also the fire doesn't get to those valuable servers. Now and then, AWS started to offer the same service basically without all of the stuff that I just explained. Without the knowledge of server, without the room, without the maintenance, without replacing it, without anything. You just have access to computing power. And this has enabled a lot of businesses, a lot of startups, and a lot of innovation that we are using now every day, such as Netflix, Zoom, and whatsoever, wouldn't be there without services like AWS. And Creatize is doing exactly the same. We are giving access to manufacturing services without the need of having procurement or without the need of having your own machine. And this is why we, you know, go here and say we want to transform. We are transforming manufacturing because we think this is transformative.
So as you've very well illustrated with the migration to the cloud, it took quite a long time for companies to accept moving to the cloud, migrating to the cloud, and before realizing all the innovation and cost saving and security benefits they could have, are ready for this migration that you're pioneering?
Yes. So the thing is that we believe that you need to, you need to convince the people that understand the value. And there is enough people, that there's enough companies, there's enough teams out there in the world that completely understand. The moment I explain to them what I mean, they completely understand what I'm talking about. And they know, okay, this is how I can bring my innovation, my, innovative electro vehicle, my innovative machine, etc., to the market. And I don't need to worry about procurement. I don't need to worry about manufacturing. Of course, there's always people, there's always companies that say, this is nothing for us. We have never done this. And what about, this and this? And have you thought about this and this and this? There's always those people, and I think it's just about convincing finding the ones that are, believing in those new ideas, and then obviously it really counts to show them, like, to bring the value to the customer, because a new idea, I can talk a lot and it sounds all good and fancy, but you have to perform on a daily level in order to convince, especially in B2B. Performance is everything, right?
And trust is also everything. So how do you come over also the objection of maybe the sensitivity of the data you're handling and the protection of data, etc.?
Yeah, that's very important in our market. And here we have built a very secure system. Like, imagine currently the status quo of procurement and manufacturing is that people are sending around unencrypted emails, not secured whatsoever, and they're sending around attachments to hundreds of partners, and we're giving them a secure way to, you know, upload and process their drawings and parts. Everything is stored in our own servers in Frankfurt, in Germany, under the highest data security standards. So this is very important in a B2B business. You need to have all the necessary requirements and need to, you know, perform on a high level when it comes to also quality certification. We are certified ISO 9001, for example, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a prerequisite for doing business in this industry, definitely.
So what you're describing is a bigger trend we see, which we call the unbundling of the firm or the unbundling of the value chain. So you break down the whole pieces and steps of a process into smaller parts and say, I can support this. And with, something like a manufacturing cloud you operate, you can be very, very flexible. So there is a question regarding COVID-19 and Corona. So what we see is that with Corona and COVID-19, there is a lot of pressure on those companies to be more, to build up more resilient processes and value chains and being also more flexible. So have you witnessed that more requests coming to you from companies saying, hey, can you help us? Because we faced a lot of troubles because of our old structures, old processes, etc. So it should be kind of an accelerator for you, right?
Correct. So yeah, we are seeing this, and I mean the I think there's the acceleration is there, and also like in many of the industries, like in B2B, there's a lot of, you know, printed paper going around the offices and, you know, showing stuff to colleagues and what do you think about this. And like all of a sudden everybody is in home office and you need to come up with a new, you know, a new way of handling and doing your processes. So I think this is an accelerator for all of digital services. But for us, it's definitely an accelerator. But on the other side, we also see that a couple of customers are shutting down their assembly lines for a couple of months. So this is also then like, again, stopping us, on that side. But in general, I would say people have realized that there is no way back. We will do Zoom calls, we will do video calls, and you have to upgrade to a new browser in order to be able to participate in this new way of doing business, right? Back before COVID-19 and the lockdown, like we sometimes even had to convince people to upgrade to a new Internet Explorer because they were using Internet Explorers that Microsoft themselves didn't even support anymore, right? They were so old, and they said, well, our IT admin doesn't allow this to etc. So this is the this was the status before the lockdown and the pandemic, and now I think within a couple of months everybody, you know, everything was possible, and that's super cool. Also in schools, right? In before 2020, like everybody, like data security, etc., and what is it called, GDPR requirements, etc. All of this is not a problem anymore suddenly, because there's people realize we have to now, you know, go digital, and suddenly it's possible. So if you want it, then there's a way, I think, and that's really good to see, and I'm really happy, and I think this will 2020 will be the, you know, starting point for lots and lots of innovation, because now everybody is like from schools to kindergartens to corporations started to think digital, and that's super good.
I think also that the companies now discover where are the limitations of their processes. They digitalize some of the processes, but they are not flexible enough, and in the certain times you need a lot of flexibility to react on a lot of different kind of things which can happen. It could be a pandemic, but it could be also kind of what we see, the war between US and China, etc. So there could be a lot of events happening which requires a lot of flexibility. So I would say that what we have seen in the past is outsourcing 1.0, and this was mainly driven by let's drive our costs down. And now we see a next phase of outsourcing 2.0, which is more like let's unbundling the firm, look at platforms which can help us to be more flexible at the end. And I'm a little bit curious about this leads to more and more decentralization of manufacturing or maybe of processes. How do you see maybe technologies like blockchain? Will those kind of technologies also support this trend? And will this be a supporter for your movement? Or do you say, nah, this is still a lot far away?
Yeah, I think blockchain, I think 2020, like there's still a lot of people ask about blockchain, but I think I somehow had the feeling that the hype was in 2018, and now it's like this valley of death, and probably 2021 it's going up again with blockchain. But no, I think there's use cases. I have discussed a use case, for example, with in the aerospace industry, where customers need to know where the parts are produced because of the regulations. And with our platform business, we don't want to show them who are our partners, and our partners also don't want to be like publicly named. So there is a use case where you have to, where you like, if you work together with the regulators of the airline industry, especially the ISO and other administrative regulators, I think you can build a very good use case for traceability of the parts. Who is the manufacturer? Where's the material from? Et cetera, et cetera. But that's something that really is that needs to, I think, you need to work together with all of the regulatory bodies in order to make this happen. But I don't think that you can say, blockchain, we will solve the whole problem. I think it's just you need to find your use cases in this industry, and I believe that one of the use cases.
Giving transparency without giving transparency. That's a great way to say it.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you, I mean, I don't know how to explain it in a better way, but it's, I think you, I hope you got my point giving, let's say, put it in another way. Giving full traceability without giving transparency. And I think this might be me better. Yes. But maybe like you also have a nice like a new use case for blockchain, or why did you come up with the question?
Yeah, the blockchain is always claimed to be an enabler for decentralization and giving people the rights, more transparency, or let's say traceability, like you mentioned, etc. And as we always say, when you build up a platform, one of the key aspects is that you build up trust. And so you have to think about what kind of mechanics you have to put in place so that everybody who is joining the platform feels that it's a trustful place to operate, to do business, etc. And this brings us always to blockchain, and say, because this is blockchain as a technology is always claimed to be such a kind of an enabler for building trust. So that's why we're always curious about, is this true? Is this still something platforms consider, or have they gone through kind of POCs, lessons learned, and then they discovered, yes, it's true, but maybe the market is not ready, or they say, yeah, the technology is not ready, or maybe this was a kind of a false assumption. So there could be multiple things, and we are just kind of curious what is really the case, what is really the status. Talking about lessons learned, maybe coming a little bit back to your journey as a platform, our listeners always try to understand not just what you are and how you operate, but also what kind of lessons learned you went through. So maybe are there one, two key milestones or key lessons learned you went through when you have built up your platform?
That's a very tough question. We have to think twice. I think there's so many learnings. I think the first learning is that you need to do hundred thousands of little experiments in order to come up with your, you know, your business model and your way of working and the processes behind that.
So maybe let me phrase it a little bit different. So what was more the bottleneck to grow and to establish yourself in the market? Was it the technology side, or was it more the readiness of your users? So they are more kind of skeptical. Can this really be helpful? So was it more the user side or more the technology side?
So the technology is very complex, and because what we are doing is we are analyzing CAD files and technical drawings, and we need to understand them, and we need to derive the manufacturing costs and the manufacturing times, etc., from that. So on the technology side, it's really complex, and we have built a very good software, and it was definitely, you know, complex and hard, but I wouldn't say that this was the bottleneck. On the customer side, they also got it quite fast. I would say, like, one needs to understand what value you bring to your customers and to your partners, most of the time it's not, you know, like a nice interface, or it's not a nice digitized something. It's you need to think about, okay, what are you delivering to your customers? And we are delivering access to manufacturing services and, like, high performance on the supply side, and this is what you need to nail in order to convince more and more customers to use us. And yeah, I think the challenge for us was that we grow within the company, right? With an account, from, you know, one engineer or one buyer that loves us, to, you know, multiple people in one company that really, like, say, okay, this is a service. This is something that, like, we have to look at from a strategical level, right? And not a operations level, but this is something we need to talk strategically about. How will our procurement team and how will procurement processes change when we use Creatize? And that's, I think, something that we have been through with our customers, and this was definitely very difficult.
So in the benefit that you're bringing in, or in that change that you're facilitating in the process, in the procurement processes of your customers, would you say that the whole carbon neutral element and sustainable element was key for them? Would you say it's at this stage maybe more important for you than for them? Or, you know, where do you see position this element? And Simon, the reason we are asking is because, you know, we all talk about sustainability, but sometimes, customers or companies are just, it's a nice to have sometimes, more often than not, actually, rather than a priority, even if a lot of, companies are making efforts. But the reality is that often price comes before sustainability. So I was wondering what place you put or you give to this element.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I think that's because a lot of people ask me actually about this. And for us, it was not driven by, you know, customer requirements. It was driven by, okay, we are building the supply chain of the future, and the supply chain of the future is carbon neutral full stop. And I mean, it's also a very nice showcase to show, okay, why is it important to digitize? Why is transparency important? Yeah, because you cannot build a carbon neutral supply chain without the transparency, without the digital processes. Or you can, but it's very tedious. And so this is why we did this. And on the other side, like, I mean, it's just a matter of time that, you know, countries or the European Union will enforce this as a you know, law, or will impose carbon taxes or for imported goods. And I think that's just, you know, a company that wants to transform the market, I think if they're not carbon neutral, I think it's just they're missing something, right?
Yeah, for me it sounds like a bit also that you are not just pioneering the transformation of manufacturing, but you're also pioneering a little bit more like how people should incorporate sustainability into their processes and into their operations and into their structure. So we also say that a platform and also companies in the future, which will to become successful, they have to embrace and they have to include sustainability into their goals, into their and make this really a priority, not just saying I work for profit, I also work for the people and the planet. And so when you as a platform enable them to do that, so it looks like for me that you are really a kind of a pioneer without being pushed by customers. Really, it's like you made the decision by yourself. So it's really good.
Thank you. Glad you you see it this way. And
and in fact, you're not being pushed by customers. You're pushing customers towards that. So in a way. So yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. We're like without them, you know, without their willingness, we deliver carbon neutrality and carbon neutral products. I think that's also nice, right? Because I think when we talk about platforms, we couldn't have done it if they're like without a platform that is helping us to do that, right? So it's platform over platform enabling another platform business. So that's also very important, right, to understand this, how, you know, every other, like every platform enables probably 3, 4, 5 new platforms and new services. And that's really, really good to see. Carbon neutral supply chain 10 years ago would have been way, way more difficult than today. Today it's really, really, really easy, right? It's also like there's no argument why you shouldn't do it, right?
It's also fast when we say to companies. So you, on the one hand side, the easiest is to reduce waste. So this is a level you can easily achieve. Think about what kind of waste you can reduce. The other level is about being neutral. So kind of circular economy, whatever. So try to be neutral and the next level would be to have a positive impact. So not so maybe consume more than you produce or something like that. So that you that you really give something positive back to the ecosystem.
Yes, I mean, and this is also very important for me to state this, right? We're just at the beginning with this. Like currently, we're tracking the CO2 emissions. We're offsetting. We're trying to reduce it, but as you said, right, we're just beginning, and we need to work closer with our partners to, you know, try to get them on renewable energy and try to. But that's, you know, that's really a big industry effort, especially in the material production. There's so much CO2 footprint, and it's. You need to increase recycling rates, etc., in order to make this like a really green industry. We're just at the beginning, and I think like offsetting, like tracking, offsetting, and reducing is the first step. And as you said, then then the hard stuff begins, and this is where now we're standing, and we're now climbing up the big mountain step by step.
And also the fact that you are using up or exploiting all this free idle capacity that you were talking about, that's also part of the effort towards sustainability and reducing waste of capacity,
Correct.
In a way.
I mean, for us, this is something that we are not yet measuring, or we don't know how to measure the impact here. But yeah, you were right. I think that could be part of the whole sustainability.
So I guess maybe we are. Coming to the end of this discussion, I'm going to try to summarize. There's loads of things that I think you've brought up today. Very interesting. First of all, your vision of transforming manufacturing to something that people love. I love that vision because I think it's very ambitious. and you're doing this through, you've chosen to do this via this platform model. With those elements of carbon neutrality that we just talked about, transparency, cost control also, and scalability. You've indeed identified that there was all this free idle manufacturing capacity that you could leverage, and that it would also, through a platform model, enable a flexibility of production in the types of productions for you, your customers, the whole goal of this was really not just to transform the process of procurement, but eliminate the process of procurement in your words through this transparency that you're bringing thanks to the platform. And I liked the way you also made the parallel with Amazon and how companies migrated to the cloud and put all their servers and storage capacity, etc., in the cloud. And this trend is really what you're trying to push or pioneer in the manufacturing market. So it's the same type of thinking. I think it's a really easy way for us to understand what you're doing. With the in that trend, the very strong element of security for data sensitive data, which allows for also for trust in the B2B environment, and that's key. The other element is that we talked about how actually the crisis, or the current crisis with the several S crisis, are actually kind of helping you accelerate, because they're driving this change in behaviors, whether it's people working behaviors or the unbundling of the firms trends, and even further the decentralization of production. So that's also an interesting element. Now, in your lessons learned, you said I was very surprised to hear how you said it, because you talked about doing lots of experiments, but you said hundreds of thousands of experiments, which...
Correct, yes.
Right, correct, yeah. I was very surprised by that, but maybe we will have another podcast one day where you explain why you had so many and how you managed through this.
You didn't have enough. That's
and you didn't have enough. Okay, so that's quite interesting. You also said that tech is complex but not a bottleneck. I think we all agree with you on this. Tech is not really the complexity generally in innovation, and that the one of the key things was to understand really what you are delivering. You're not just delivering a nice interface, but what value are you bringing to your different stakeholders across the platform? And then finally, we concluded on the element of sustainability, and sometimes, we hear companies, saying that they are carbon neutral, etc. But actually, I feel that you are really pushing an industry trend here when you're saying the supply chain of the future is carbon neutral or isn't or won't be, if I can say like this. Maybe you said it much better. Supply chain of the future is carbon neutral, full stop. And I like that very much, because you as in your own words, it's not your customers who ask for this, it's you who feel a responsibility to drive this. So I think it's a very very interesting also position, and that one that we adhere to. Did I forget anything, Simon, in the summary of all those elements that we covered, or Matthias, did I forget anything? There were lots of things.
Yeah, I think this was a great summary, Natalie, but one thing we really missed, Simon, we always ask our guests at the end, what would be a kind of a key advice, you as a leader, you as an executive and a founder, what would you give as a key advice to other founders of platforms or executives of incumbent companies? So you have, I think, a lot of learnings, but what would be the most the best one you would like to give to other ones?
Yeah, so first of all, I think the summary of Natalie, I couldn't have stated it better, and then I'm happy that we had this exchange and I could share my thoughts. I think advice is I'm not in a position to give advice, right? So we're at the beginning of a very big challenge, and we have come a couple of steps forward, but who knows what will happen? So I don't want to give advice, but I think what is important to understand is that you should always be thinking about what value you are delivering to the customer, and always to your partner and to your ecosystem, and you should also be able to say, okay, this is like, I as a new business and as a startup, you also build and create the future, so you should also think about like how do you want the future to be, because you have the possibility to create it at least partially. So I think this is something that is important, and don't always look at what customers and partners want currently, but also think about what they will want in 10 years or in 5 years, because this is what you are building and this is what you need to be building. And there are hundreds of quotes about this, from Henry Ford to, everybody said this, I think, in a different way. And I think sustainability, as you summarized it, is something like this, right? Don't ask them if they want it, just do it. And then you will see that in 5 years, they will choose you or will not go to you because you are not sustainable, or the other way around. So I think this is something like, listen, do a lot of experiments, and then also, but have your clear, North Star and a good vision about the future you want to build. And, and then just go. And then if you are successful, I'm happy for you. And if you're not, then don't be sad about it, and just try it next time. I think that's the way to approach it.
Yeah, I really like it. It shows me the mindset of a pioneer. And as mentioned earlier, for me, you are really like a pioneer in transforming manufacturing, but also regarding sustainability. So it was really, really great to have you in our episode, in our podcast, and learn more about Creatize, your journey, and what you are doing. So thank you from our side to be our guest. And we wish you all the best for Creatize, and hopefully maybe we can have another session in 1-2 years to check where you are with your journey.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and Simon. Also, like, please share my LinkedIn so people can reach out to me. It's Simon Tüchelmann or Sim2e at LinkedIn. And if you have some ideas or questions or better ways to put things, reach out to me. I'm super happy to engage in conversations. And yeah, thank you for this podcast. Thank you for pushing the platform and sustainability cause. And hopefully stay healthy and safe during the December and Christmas season. And it was good chatting to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Simon.